This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Choose from over 85,000 titles and get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/Bobby Blackwolf. More information after the midpoint break. Did you hear the news that Disney bought Lucasfilm? This means we're getting Grim Fandango the Pixar movie, right? Plus, Blizzard is being sued for charging you money to better protect your Battle.net account. Tonight is November 11th, 2012, and the Bobby Blackwolf Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akeripa from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O'Kay says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans, it's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
My favorite part is when Bobby Blackwolf's silky smooth voice starts speaking. So saith Minko. Hello, everybody. Welcome to yet another edition. This is a live edition, a normal edition. We haven't had one of these in a while. Of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. You're joining us live here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com. Welcome. Head on over to our chat room. Go to live.VogNetwork.com. You can participate with the show directly and check in, just like Tiger Claw and Mako, who were the first two people to check in tonight. We haven't had a live show in a couple weeks, so people have obviously missed being able to check in live. But a lot of people checked into the podcast, so I was very happy to see that. It's always nice to see that people actually did listen to all those wonderful interviews. I had a lot of fun doing those three interviews that we aired last week, but tonight's a normal show, just going to be me rambling for a little bit, and then you hopefully calling in and rambling for a little bit. Our Skype line, about 30 minutes, we'll open this up. Skype line is Bobby Blackwolf Show, that is all one word, or toll-free in North America, 1-888-36-GAME-1, or you can contact me on my website, bobbyblackwolf.com. First thing I do want to say is that today here in the United States, we are... Veterans Day is occurring today. I don't know if this is one of those you celebrate or not, but it's because today is the day that World War II ended, and that's why today is the actual day. Tomorrow is the day that we're actually observing it with closures and stuff like that. So I do want to thank all the veterans out there, either past, present, or future, for doing what I'm too much of a wuss to do, because I was never cut out to be in the military, and thankfully I was not around when any time there was a draft, and actually we didn't really even have a war when I was of age to join. So thank you, because I sure as hell couldn't do what you guys do. So thank you very much if you have served in the past, are serving now, or are planning to serve in the future. Since I haven't done a show like this in a while, this means there's a lot of stuff backed up on that I haven't been able to really talk about. So I want to continue talking a little bit about Xbox Smart Glass, because they actually did release the iOS update, so I was able to get it on my iPad a couple nights ago. And I liked the idea that Microsoft was doing with Smart Glass, which is basically a second screen for your Xbox. And a lot of people say it's going to be, their response to the Wii U. But I liked what they were, talking about doing, and, some supplemental features. It was supposed to be a supplemental device, not a primary device to work with your game. And one of the first things that it has is... It has integration with Forza Horizon. That was one of the big games that they were going to have integration with. It's called a Smart Glass Experience is what they call it. And it doesn't work on the phones, because I've had it on my Android for a couple weeks. And I remember talking about it on the show 2 weeks ago. And the Forza Experience did not work on the smartphone. It was only a tablet, on the Windows 8 tablets only. Well, now that the iPad version is out, the Smart Glass Experience for Forza Horizon is out. And I was able to play around with it. And oh my God, is it laggy. Like, I didn't understand what they were talking about in terms of, how they were actually going to have it work. I thought, silly me, that there would be actually like an app, like an internal app downloaded into the Smart Glass Experience that it would call. No, what it does is it is streaming the video, just like the Wii U tablet. It's streaming the video to you over the network. And it even seems like it's not even streaming it over your local network. It's actually streaming it over, like, Xbox Live. So your Xbox is connected to Xbox Live, and your tablet, your smart glass tablet, is also connected to Xbox Live over the internet. Instead of talking directly to the Xbox, it's talking to Xbox Live. So it is extremely laggy. And I mean, I'm talking like I'm moving my finger, because basically in Forza Horizon, it's your GPS. And so you have the full map there on your iPad, and it's being updated in real time and stuff like that. And so I'm scrolling around the map on my iPad, and it's extremely laggy. It's not like it sends an image of the map, and then the smart glass app on your iPad helps you zoom around it and stuff. No, when you move your finger on the iPad, it then sends information to Xbox Live, and Xbox Live sends the new video data to you, which means it's not really an experience you'd use a lot. And then it doesn't help that, you know, there are tools in, if you're an iOS developer, to stop the device from going into sleep mode. Well, the Smart Glass app does not take use of those tools. It's like one line of code. I've done it before. They don't do that. So after like a minute or two, if I'm, you know, driving around, my iPad will shut off. And then I have to put it back in, and then it has to reconnect, and then it has to reload the Forza experience, which removes the GPS data and all that stuff. So it's, you can obviously go into the settings and stop your iPad from going into sleep mode, but if it's one line of code, and I know this because I'm an iOS developer, I know it's one line of code, I know exactly what the line of code is, I couldn't repeat it here because I'm not thinking in that mode right now, but why can't they just put that one line of code in? Why do I have to go and change my settings and then maybe forget to put those settings back, and then so later on it messes me up and drains my battery? Very lazy on Microsoft's part, and I was kind of disappointed that it's not an app on your device. It's basically just, it's more like an on live type of stream from Xbox Live. It's from the internet. It doesn't even seem like it's coming from your Xbox that's on your network. Tiger Claw says, maybe they will update the app at some point to support local network if enough people send feedback on it being laggy. I don't think so, because the whole point, I think, is that you have to be connected to Xbox Live. And, I mean, that's the thing. You cannot use Smart Glass if you are not connected to Xbox Live. So if you're offline, like, so if your internet's out, okay, and you have, you know, so you have Forza Horizon, you can't connect to your Xbox with Smart Glass unless you're online. So if your internet's out, you're out of luck, because it connects to your Xbox through the internet, even though you're on the same local network, and you actually have to be on the same local network to connect to your Xbox. Doesn't really make that much sense in the long run, but it really seems like it spends too much time trying to get things from the internet rather than from your local device, and it's not doing enough on the client side, on the actual tablet, to make it worth anything. They still don't have any TV shows in there. They do have a list of, like, 30 movies you can rent that have a smart glass experience, and I have not wanted to spend the Microsoft points to rent one of those movies to see what it's like, so I can't really comment on that. But right now, I liked the idea of smart glass, but the execution is kind of failing, and I don't see it being a Wii U killer. At least the Wii U is delivering everything over a local connection, and it's I don't even think it's internet connection, so it's more Bluetooth. So we'll see in about, what, a week, how the Wii U stacks up to this. Mako says, I found Smart Glass to be awkward with my Samsung Galaxy S3. That's the phone I have as well. Connecting is tough and fails repeatedly and annoyingly won't work with the YouTube app on the Xbox. Google has, weirdly, its own connection method for it. Yeah, I haven't tried the YouTube app or anything. I did play around, and, you know, you can use it as a remote, as a controller on the Android version. I've got an S3 as well. And, It's really awkward, and it's one of those, okay, I used it once. Great. Not going to use it again. There also is apparently a companion thing with Halo 4, a Smart Glass companion app. haven't, obviously, I don't have Halo 4 for obvious reasons. But I think it's more like just like Halo Waypoint stats and stuff. So once again, it's just one of those like throwaway, yeah, okay, I used it once, but I could just use the in-game stuff better than having to deal with this laggy thing on my tablet. Raginator says, I think it's just an excuse for Microsoft to more or less force people to get Xbox Live Gold in order to use Smart Glass. I think you could probably still use it with Silver. I mean, obviously, I haven't tried it because I don't have a Silver account, but I think you just need to be connected to Xbox Live. Mako says, YouTube requires you to access youtube.com/pair from the smartphone and type in some number to link them, because yes, that makes sense. So while we're on the topic of stuff that you play on a tablet or you know an iOS app, Peter Molyneux is back. He's back, baby. He left Microsoft. He said, I don't want to work for them anymore. He has this new studio called 22 Cans, and he finally released his free app, Curiosity, What's in the Cube? And this is a social experiment on his part to create an app where the TTP ratio is about 2.5 seconds. This is an app, and it's basically it's a race to find what's at the center of the Tootsie Roll. You know, how many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop? Well, we're going to find out. It's essentially it's a huge cube in floating in the corner of some white room. And when you load up the app, you connect to this cube. There's one cube in the entire world. And everybody is chipping away at this cube one little piece at a time. That's the idea. What's actually happening is people are leaving messages and drawing things and writing their name and writing over other people's names. And, you know, we've had several Vogue logos show up on the cube. That's actually what it has turned into, but you're supposed to be working together, and then one person will finally unlock what's in the center of the cube, and nobody knows what's in the cube. There's only one person that knows what's in the cube, and that's Peter Molyneux. He has not told his family, he has not told Apple, because Apple wants to know what's in there, and it's this big social experiment. Typical Peter Molyneux. So obviously we spent some time on Twitter trying to figure out what's in the cube. I said it was probably the Wii U online details are what you're going to get in the center of the cube. Peter Molyneux says it's going to be something that will change your life. Whoever finds it, it will change their life. And basically what it's going to have is there's going to be a video link is from what I kind of understand from reading some more deep into the fine print. There's a video link that you'll be sent if you are the person that gets into the center of the cube. And it will change your life. Halo Fanboy Man, must be Break Man, says, how many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll Pop? Only Bobby Blackwolf knows for sure, and he isn't telling for any less than the 10 Gs. I'll take some 10 Gs. Game Guru asks, are there phallic drawings? That's the TTP index. It took me about, I had to zoom in to the cube a little bit, but then I found like 30 of them. So they're on there. In fact, I could probably get into it now. Let's see what happens. Let's see what's in the cube. This is a free app. Curiosity, What's in the Cube is the full title. So let's see. What is? Where are we at? They actually have like eliminated some levels because it looks like each level of the cube is a different color. So when I logged in the last time, it was actually a completely different color, and all the stuff that I had seen is no longer there. Welcome back, joining. This may be a bad idea. I don't know if I'm going to lose connection to the stream. Okay, so right now the cube is still completely red. So maybe it's connecting to the internet and it's going to update this cube to actually put drawings on it. But right now the cube actually looks like really empty. It's kind of sad. This is terrible radio. Thanks, Peter Molyneux. Now you ruined my show, too. Jeez. Okay, I give up on that. Obviously, I'm not going to be able to see what's even on the cube. It's going to take a while to sync up. So that's Curiosity, What's in the Cube. It's a free app, but I don't even think it's worth that. Curiosity killed the Bobby Blackwolf show. The other big news that happened, this actually happened 2 weeks ago, but obviously I was not live last week and was really trying to cram three interviews into 1 hour and still failed. So I couldn't really talk about this. Disney buying Lucasfilm. And I did want to talk a little bit about this because I hear a lot of things and I hear a lot of wishful thinking. And this is not really about Star Wars, but more about Lucasfilm. Because Star Wars is going to be fine. Disney knows what's up. They shoot Jar Jar in the Star Tours ride, so they don't like Jar Jar either. So don't worry about that. I think Star Wars will be fine. episode 7, 8, and 9, the movies that are going to be coming out starting in 2015 or whatever. Those are going to be fantastic because obviously, you know, the Avengers sucked because Disney bought Marvel, obviously. So, yeah, I'm not worried about Star Wars. This is actually what I wanted to talk about was the other stuff that Lucasfilm does, because you got to realize to Disney, Indiana Jones is not really a part of this deal, even though, you know, Lucasfilm has the Indiana Jones franchise and Disney already has some Indiana Jones stuff as well. But that's because of Paramount and joint ownership. And really, Fox still has the distribution rights to the Star Wars films. But here's the thing is that a lot of us that remember, you know, the early days of PC gaming, Lucasfilm Games was one of the stalwarts. Now, I was a Sierra kid, and, you know, in our day, the fanboy wars were Sierra Adventure Games versus Lucasfilm Adventure Games. So this actually has a lot of the Lucasfilm games are now owned by Disney. And so this obviously led everybody to think, oh, my God, now I'm going to get, you know, Day of the Tentacle, the Pixar movie, or Grim Fandango, the Pixar movie, or, you know, there's I'm going to get Monkey Island and Kingdom Hearts, whatever. And I'm here to say that probably not. Because at this point, they really only bought, and $4 billion was a steal for Disney, and they let everybody know it. They really only got this for the Star Wars franchise. And there are other IPs, but they're not really going to do that much with them, and they don't even really know that most of them existed. Even on the call, the investor call they did the day of the purchase, they basically said, we're not talking about anything but Star Wars. This is a Star Wars purchase and not anything else. So you could sit there and have, you know, wishful thinking that, oh, my, you know, great, Monkey Island now is going to be, you know, have a Disney area. And, you know, I'm going to have, you know, Grim Fandango and Day of the Tentacle and The Dig and all this stuff is going to be great. You know, I'm going to see it at Disney World and everything like that. And the sad thing is you're probably not. And actually this does some even worse things for some of the properties, because Ron Gilbert, the creator of the Monkey Island series, has been trying desperately to buy the IP from Lucasfilm so he can continue Monkey Island. Now, they did the thing with Telltale, and they licensed out with Telltale Games to do the remakes, the HD remakes of Monkey Island, but that's all they had done with it. And Ron Gilbert's been trying to buy the Monkey Island IP off of Lucasfilm. Well, now Disney owns the IP. And if there's one company that never, ever, ever sells its IPs to anybody else, it's Disney. So Ron Gilbert is now abandoning the fight because he has no shot. Disney will not relinquish the IP for anything. They even, you know, go to Congress and lobby Congress to make sure they don't lose their IP. The Mickey Mouse Act is basically the extension of copyrights. And they go in, and every time Mickey Mouse is about to enter the public domain, they go to Congress and lobby them to put in law making the length of copyright longer so Mickey Mouse doesn't go into the public domain. So for those thinking that, you know, this is going to be a revitalization of those franchises, it's not. They're going to sit on the shelf and do nothing because this is a Star Wars purchase and nothing else. Direclaw says they also said they would rather concentrate on social gaming, but they will license Star Wars games to the other to other companies, which is, you know, they do that a lot with Disney stuff as well. So, I mean, you know, they've got their own Disney Interactive Studio, but they've also, you know, contracted out some stuff to other developers and published it under their own brand. But they're not going to do anything. Game Guru says, I just prefer they re-release the Lucasfilm home games. They're not going to do that. I mean, why? That wouldn't give them much of anything. So, I mean, it's kind of sad from that perspective. Star Wars is going to be fine. They're going to treat Star Wars well. I think Star Wars is going to be great. But for all the people that are thinking, oh, you know, this is going to be, you know, now we're going to finally get that Pixar movie based on my favorite Lucasfilm game of old, sadly, that's probably not going to be the case. That's not what this deal was for. That's not what it's about. The only other thing that, you know, that is kind of Star Wars related, it's going to be kind of interesting for me to watch, and this is like not really a gaming perspective, but from a fan perspective and from, you know, watching the community, is that Lucasfilm was very, very, very forward and very giving to the fan community to allow them to create derivative works. And actually, Lucasfilm in 2007 released tools to allow people to make their own fan movies. Now, the catch to using those tools is that if you made a fan movie of Star Wars, which there are a lot out there, And as long as it didn't have nudity or graphic violence, those were the two limitations. Lucasfilm owned all the rights to your fan movie, but you were still able to use it, and they had like this good faith agreement that they wouldn't really do much with it to screw you. And Lucasfilm had backed themselves up on that, and really have embraced the fan culture around Star Wars parodies and Star Wars films based in the universe and all that stuff. Disney is kind of not in that same line of thinking. So there is nothing out yet that says that Disney's going to continue honoring those agreements that Lucasfilm had made with the original tools back in 2007. And they haven't really done that much in the past with that type of stuff. Now, to be fair, you know, I'm not saying that fan sites are going to get cease and desist orders, because Marvel fan sites haven't gotten cease and desist orders yet. There were some trolls out there the day of the purchase claiming that Disney lawyers already were sending out cease and desist letters. There was actually no evidence to back that up, so I don't think that's actually happening. But, I mean, hopefully Disney will realize that the fan community that Lucasfilm created around the Star Wars property is good and not bad, I guess, for lack of bigger words, and hopefully they will allow some kind of relationship like that to continue. So that's what I would hope. One thing I can say that we will probably never see again are Robot Chicken or Family Guy episodes based around Star Wars. In fact, I think Seth MacFarlane even said, yeah, this is, we're never going to be able to do another Family Guy Star Wars special again. It's going to be over. That's it. Disney's not going to play ball with them. So, Star Wars, the franchise, is going to be fine. The movies, obviously, are not going to be based on anything in the extended universe. Basically, Disney's going to retcon the extended universe. So if you're wondering how that all those books are going to tie in, they're not. The movies are going to be a sequel to the existing six movies, and they are not going to count the extended universe. The extended universe does not really exist in the Disney. They want to make it a movie franchise, not a mass media franchise. Now, Tiger Claw says, I wonder what's going to happen to the Celebration events. Lucasfilm always hosted those Star Wars Celebration cons. And here's the one thing I do want to say. Lucasfilm technically is not going away. Lucasfilm just has new owners. Lucasfilm is still going to exist. This is the way that I kind of understand it. ILM, Industrial Light and Magic, is still going to exist as a company. It's just they're going to be owned by Disney instead of being owned by George Lucas. So the company is still existing, and so, you know, that's a glimmer of hope in terms of, you know, like the cons and the fan events, is that if Disney lets Lucasfilm continue doing what they want, Disney may just, you know, let them handle it. They're going to have some oversight, and obviously Disney's going to have final say, but Lucasfilm's still going to be around. It's not like they're dead or anything. Sky from Orson Radio says, Lucas had planned a 789 trilogy before anyway. He's still producing, at least in the first one. He's a consultant. So it's probably his original treatment, which the books aren't privy to. So who knows? It'll be interesting. I'm okay with Disney and Star Wars. That's not what this whole thing was about. I think Star Wars is going to be fine. The movies are going to be amazing. I'll be there. I'm not going to camp out, but I'm going to be there and I'm going to watch them. But it's, you know, I'm not holding out hope for Grim Fandango being a Pixar movie anytime soon. So the one news story that I wanted to touch on a little bit is about none of this stuff. It's about Activision, another huge company. Probably not as big as Disney. They probably couldn't afford to buy Lucasfilm, but probably close. And it's another lawsuit. And this one's kind of an interesting lawsuit, because fans of World of Warcraft are going to cry foul on this one, and even Blizzard's kind of said this is frivolous. But this is kind of an interesting angle that this person has taken with his outrage at some of the security policies that are going on at Blizzard. Courthouse News reports that Blizzard has made millions by deceptively and unfairly charging customers for an after-sales security product to protect their private information from hackers, according to a class action lawsuit claim in federal court. Lead plaintiff Benjamin Bell sued Blizzard Entertainment of Irvine, California, and his corporate parent, Santa Monica-based Activision Blizzard. Bell seeks class damages for consumer fraud, unjust enrichment, negligence, breach of contract, and bailment. He claims that the same security problem and aftermarket fix occurs in Defender's games StarCraft and Diablo. Bell claims that game players have to pay $6.40 for a product called the Authenticator to protect their private information from hackers. Sales of authenticators, which come as a physical product or download, have brought in $26 million, according to the complaint. Bell claims that Activision and Blizzard require gamers to use online accounts on the Battle.net website, which collects and stores consumers' private information. Blizzard puts the onus on gamers to buy additional products or tighten security on their devices rather than making customer accounts more secure, Bell claims. Quote, defendants negligently, deliberately, and or recklessly failed to ensure that adequate, reasonable procedures safeguard the private information stored on this website. As a result of these acts, the private information of plaintiffs and class members have been compromised and or stolen since at least 2007, unquote, according to the 33-page complaint. It continues, quote, most recently, on or about May 19th, 2012, hackers proliferated that class members' Battle.net accounts had suffered a security breach at the hands of unknown parties. And on or about August 4th, 2012, hackers massively breached Battle.net security and acquired the private information of all defendants' customers in the United States, as well as the remainder of North America, Latin America, Australia, New Zealand, and Southeast Asia, unquote. Though account details for millions of gamers were compromised or stolen, Bell says neither Activision nor Blizzard took the legally required steps to alert gamers. He seeks class damages and an injunction to bar the defendants from tacking on undisclosed costs after consumers have bought games and from requiring them to sign up for Battle.net accounts. So Sky says, you know, when the authenticators originally came out and I didn't have one and got hacked, I was pretty pissed off too. But then they released several free methods, such as the mobile authenticators. Many people forget that there was the phone call authentication that worked for a while, too. I think they finally got rid of it because, well, no one was using it, but it was free. And, you know, to play devil's advocate, because I know a lot of people are going to take the side of Blizzard on this one, that assumes you have a smartphone. What, you know, what if the only thing you had was a computer and you had a landline? Okay, and you know, if they have gotten rid of this phone call authenticator thing. What if that's all you had? What if you didn't have a smartphone? What if you didn't have any of these other things? You can't get an authenticator. Yes, the smartphone authenticators are free if you have a smartphone. But if you don't have that and you just want to play some Diablo, you got to, you know, in that sense, your only real option is to either buy a smartphone or buy a $6 authenticator. So I can see where he's coming from. I think, you know, the whole lawsuit happy culture is kind of crappy. But I can see where he's coming from. Blizzard does not. Here is their response that they gave to IGN when they reached out for comment. Quote, this suit is without merit and filled with patently false information, and we will vigorously defend ourselves through the appropriate legal channels. We want to reiterate that we take the security of our players' data very seriously, and we're fully committed to defending our network infrastructure. We also recognize that the cyber threat landscape is always evolving, and we're constantly working to track the latest developments and make improvements to our defenses. The suits claim that we didn't properly notify players regarding the August 2012 security breach is not true. Not only did Blizzard act quickly to provide information to the public about the situation, we explained the action we were taking and let players know the incident affected them, including the fact that no names, credit card numbers, or any sensitive financial information was disclosed. The suit also claims that the Battle.net authenticator is required to maintain a minimal level of security on the player's Battle.net account information that is stored on Blizzard's network systems. This claim is also completely untrue and apparently based on a misunderstanding of the authenticator's purpose. The Battle.net authenticator is an optional tool that players can use to further protect their Battle.net accounts in the event that their login credentials are compromised outside of Blizzard's network infrastructure. Available as a physical device or a free app on iOS and Android devices, it offers players an added level of security against account theft attempts that stem from sources such as phishing attacks, viruses packaged with seemingly harmless file downloads, and websites embedded with malicious code. When a player attaches an authenticator to his or her account, it means that logging into Battle.net will require the use of a random code generated by the authenticator in addition to the player's login credentials. This helps our systems identify when it is actually the player who is logging in, not someone who might have stolen the player's credentials by means of one of the external theft measures mentioned above, or as a result of the player using the same account name and password on another website or service that was compromised. Considering that players are ultimately responsible for securing their own computers and that the extra step required by the authenticator is an added inconvenience during the login process, we ultimately leave it up to the players to decide whether they want to add an authenticator to their account. However, we always strongly encourage it, and we try to make it as easy as possible to do so. Many players have voiced strong approval for our security-related efforts. Blizzard deeply appreciates the outpouring of support it has received from players related to the frivolous claims in this particular suit, unquote. Mako says you don't need an authenticator to protect your account from hackers. Being smart about your online presence is good enough to protect most users. An authenticator is a nice bit of extra security, but maybe a 26-digit alphanumeric password using capitals, lowercase letters, punctuation, and numbers will be good enough, if not rememberable. So Blizzard basically says it's frivolous. And really, like, the hack attempts have absolutely nothing to do with that authenticator thing. And in fact, I believe, like, even the Diablo 3 hack, like, bypassed the authenticator completely. So it really didn't stop from those intrusions to the Blizzard servers that got information. The authenticator is mainly there just in case you get phished personally, which has happened. Like I said, I'm actually banned on World of Warcraft, even though I've never played the game in my life. But I have a banned account under my name. And it was from having a Battle.net account for StarCraft 2. I also think this guy's a little butthurt. You have to sign on to Battle.net to play a single-player game like Diablo 3 if you never plan on playing online. And I can see where he's coming from that. This guy's going to fail hard in court, I believe. I'm not a lawyer, but that's my prediction. He's going to fall hard. It's going to suck for him. But this is the way the world's going to be soon. You're going to have to log in and have your credentials out there, have your information out there just to play a single-player game. That's the way that we're going. So on that happy note, we're going to take a quick music break, and then we'll be back and take your calls about anything going on in the gaming industry. I haven't been able to really take calls in a while, so it'll be interesting to see what people talk about. We may talk more about the Wii U, which is coming out next week, or there was a first-person shooter that came out this week that I have no desire to play, just because I don't like shooters. But I'm sure somebody will want to talk about that right after the music break. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show right here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com.
I'm Jonathan Hemingway, game designer with Gearbox Software, and you're listening to my favorite show on the Citadel, the Bobby Blackwell Show.
Hey, that's me. Jonathan Hemingway, Gearbox, Borderlands 2. I know we're talking different games, but I like that bumper, so I'm going to play it. And I had a Halo bumper, but I can't use it anymore, unfortunately. If you want to leave a bumper that I can use, because I'm broadcasting at a different location now, you can either leave it on my toll-free number, or you can send me an MP3 with just your voice to bumpers@bobbyblackwolf.com. Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you a chance to check out their service. You can get that 30-day free trial, get a free audiobook, and that's yours to keep even if you cancel before the trial is over. If you were watching this week, the World War Z movie trailer with Brad Pitt came out, and it does not bear any resemblance to the amazing Max Brook book of World War Z, and the audiobook I hear is outstanding with a lot of A-list voice talent providing narration, so you really, really, really owe it to yourself to at least listen to the book, and preferably even the unabridged version, not the abridged version, of World War Z, and you can get it, make it your free audiobook at audibletrial.com/Bobby Blackwolf. So the phones are now open. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. You can call in and talk about anything going on in the gaming industry, even if I haven't been playing the game. You can talk about the Wii U is coming out next week, if you even care about that. PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale is coming out a little bit after that, which is a game that most people that aren't listening to this show have not even heard of. Like, I was in a game store, and they were trying to figure out what something was, and I was like, oh, PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale, and they're like, never heard of it. And I'm like, yeah, it's Smash Brothers with Sony characters. They're like, yeah, you're trolling. You're lying. That doesn't actually exist. And I was in a game store, and they told me I was lying, and that didn't actually exist. To register participation for this week's episode of the Bobby Blackwell Show on VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase back. I do actually have some stuff that I could talk about with the Wii U while we're waiting for some calls to come in. There actually isn't going to be any more friend codes. They did finally have a Nintendo Direct that showed a little bit of that. One of the big changes is instead of friend codes, Nintendo Network will use a Nintendo Network ID, which, from what I understand, is still numeric. But it's not a friend code. But you have to create a user account for each Wii U console. You can have up to 12 user accounts, and then after that, you create your Mii, and then the Nintendo Network ID. So you'll need a password, your date of birth, your gender, the area which you live, and an email address. And then this is used with your eShop purchases, Miiverse, and video chat. But we do have a call here on the line. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, what's up, Bobby? This is Halo Man.
Oh, Halo Man. Man.
Break Man. Halo Break Man. Man, that's it.
What's on your mind, no, Halo Man?
God, I just wanted to talk about that Break 4, or Halo 4.
Uh-huh.
No, I mean, you don't like shooters, then nope. Probably not your favorite topic.
Mm-hmm. But it's a big game that came out this week. I can't deny that.
Right. For me, it's a huge game. I mean, you know, I'm a Halo fanboy. I don't deny that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not one of the people that took a day off work to do it, to play, go in there and get the midnight release or something like that. But I'm still really big into the game.
Mm-hmm. So how is it?
Well, it's been taken over from Bungie isn't doing it anymore, and everybody knows it's 343 Studios now. And so far, I think it's in great hands. I think they really progressed the Halo franchise more than they did with, say, Reach.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more of what people were expecting from Halo 3 than a lot of people got. I was somebody who was a huge fan of Halo 3, but I know a lot of people were saying they wanted more.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted the more new ideas and fresh ideas, and they've added a lot of fresh ideas to Halo.
Okay, but now when you say
they've added a run button.
When you say fresh ideas, do you mean fresh ideas to Halo or fresh ideas to shooters in general?
I'd say that to Halo, not really to shooters in general. I mean, the days of Halo being the number one innovator, I think, are over.
Mm-hmm.
You know. There are a lot of great things that they brought, like the recharging your life bar, so you know you don't have to restart every game or go look for a health pack or something like that.
Yeah,
so many other games have copied that.
Well, let me ask you this: have you played the multiplayer in Halo 4?
Of course.
Okay, so here's the one thing that I kind of heard that some people are upset about is that Halo 4 actually introduces some of the Call of Duty type of things with kill, you know, the kill streaks and perks and stuff like that. Does that help in the Halo universe, or is that something that kind of takes it away from being Halo and makes it more generic shooter number 80,000?
No, I don't think it takes anything away from Halo. I mean, the perks that you get are basically you can order like an overshield.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's had an overshield who's played Halo before. I mean, that's something standard. It's been in since the first game. Or you can get a weapon to drop for you, like a Spartan laser or something like that. It's not like it calls in an airstrike or some helicopter shows up and decimates the playing field.
And have you played the Spartan Ops mode, this co-op mode?
Yes, yes.
Okay. How is
it,
that?
It's kind of cool because they're talking about these new, every week having a new story segment. And I played this week's, and so far it's kind of light on story. But it's basically taking it's like playing mini campaign levels.
Mm-hmm.
They send you on a goal, like go destroy this Covenant structure, or go kill all these Covenant in this area, or kill all the Prometheans, or whatever they want. I probably said it wrong.
Now can you play the older weeks, or can you only play that week's?
I don't know yet, because we're still on, you know, this is still the
You're supposed to know these. You are Halo Man. Come on.
I know. Well, I know there's going to be a new one out starting Monday, a new Spec Ops,
mm-hmm.
or whatever they call it, like five-episode chapter. And like I said, they're little main campaign missions.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't see them, like, getting rid of the old ones, because there is a story involved with it. Kind of a light story, but I mean, they did have cut scenes and full motion video.
Okay.
So if they're doing that weekly, it really seems like they're investing some money into this.
Okay. Are you impressed? Are you impressed? I even knew about the kill streaks and the perk thing. No. Okay, you're not.
No, not really. I think you read some things. I mean, you're gonna have to try harder to impress me. just kidding, Bobby.
So you like this thing?
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it.
Okay.
I mean, some of the other things they're saying, comparing it to Call of Duty, though, They've added instant spawns and the run button, like I said. And I think those are great.
Can you lean around corners?
What?
Can you lean around corners?
No.
Okay. Then it sucks because that you need
like that. But you can't go prone. You can't call dogs. There's no remote control TNT bomb or whatever the hell that thing is. Or heck, I'm sorry, whatever the heck that thing is.
But you can still jump because that's all I remember from playing Halo is everybody jumping around.
Yes, you can still jump. People still jump a lot. And last time I played Call of Duty, people weren't jumping a lot. Mm-hmm. However, they did call a helicopter on me and killed me repeatedly. So I tried and played something else.
All right, so you would give it an A+.
Yes, I'm really into it. I played through all the way through the story, and I think the story mode, they tried to be a lot more emotional. I don't want to give any spoilers out, and I think they really were a bit more emotion, given more emotion to the chief.
Well, it's a love story. I mean, let's be real. It's a love story between the Chief and Cortana. Spoilers.
Kinda. It kinda is. Yeah.
That's all Halo is about.
Non-sex love story, which is kind of disappointing, but kind of a love story.
You never know. All right. Thanks for your call, man. I appreciate it.
All right. Later, Bobby.
Halo 4. There's your Halo 4 talk. He's not easily impressed, I could tell. That's all the calls I'm going to take for tonight because we're out of time for calls. Nobody else wanted to call. So next week the Wii U is coming out, and you're not going to have to worry about friend codes, but you're still going to have a number. They're still going to make you have a number. Coming up next here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com, three people out in Sacramento, California, talk about games for much longer than I am, and I think they actually have played Halo 4, and they'll talk about it then, and so we like to check in with them. Sacramento, are you guys there?
We are here, Bobby. How are you?
I'm doing good. Halo 4 is out, apparently. Did you know this?
Yes, I've been playing it.
You? Traitor.
I know, right?
Why aren't you in Forza Horizon?
What kind of world are we living? I haven't, because I've been playing Little Big Planet Karting.
Okay. So you've been playing Sugar Rush. Okay, I get it.
Yes, it's the closest I'm going to get to Sugar Rush. Maybe somebody will actually build Sugar Rush in the game, and then I'll be finally happy.
You know what I'm waiting for, though, Bobby, is Gran Turismo 5. When is that coming out?
I know. I still have not seen it on store shelves.
Don't encourage him. Do not encourage him. So I got to say, you were talking about this earlier in the show. And this is one of those things I hate to admit as a gamer, and it's one of those like gamer shame and point and laugh at me. I actually kind of dig Curiosity.
What?
I know.
What's
I know.
In the cube?
Dig because you know you're breaking blocks and you're digging down. Literally dig in.
Here's
Curiosity.
The thing. It is the iOS equivalent of popping bubble wrap. To me, like, you know, like sometimes you just sit there and you pop the bubble wrap. And what's
I
that
know, because totally when I go and pop bubble wrap and then I look away for a second and I look back, the bubbles that I just popped aren't popped again. So that's totally how it works.
You be quiet.
And then I have like some British guy apologizing for my bubble wrap not maintaining the popping that I did on it because their popping servers are down.
You know what? Let's change the topic. I don't want to talk about this anymore.
There were a couple good VOG ads there. We took pictures of them.
For about 30 seconds, and then somebody just drew on top of it and, you know, little breaking random bricks, or luckily no peni went up over the logos or whatever.
There was a giant expletive
several
things was on there.
Well, of course. There's all sorts of hilarity all across. There's actually a Tumblr, and I can't remember the name of it, but there's a really funny Tumblr about all the things that are spotted on the cube. Maybe somebody in the chat room remembers. It's like, what's on the cube is the name.
What's in the cube?
Right, phallus on cube.
Elections. It did go up election night. There was a lot of Obama or Romney or, you know, all that junk. Because, you know, even in cyberspace, you can't escape politics.
I know. I was like, because you were like, hey, where can I get this? And you're like, I want a politics-free zone. I'm like, don't download it. don't download this.
So, And there was something else you were talking about earlier that I wanted to comment on too.
The BattleNet thing?
Yeah, I got hacked once and it was irritating. I got hacked on Xbox as well, and that was especially irritating. So in both instances, I had kind of a similar reaction, and that is, how is my password getting out there? You know, and it was a different password I was using on both sites, and you know, so on. I didn't think it would be something that easy to crack. And it's just weird that all these people I know that don't even really play their Xboxes were getting their stuff hacked too. So, and some of that's still going on to an extent. Now, it seems like the recent firmware update on Xbox, there was a lot of stuff they did in there to try to combat this. I don't know if you guys picked up on this. You know, maybe you haven't played a lot of the X. Oh, no, you've been playing Forza. I was going to say maybe you haven't played it because of Halo. But you've certainly been playing Forza. And I noticed with the new firmware, it was asking me all these questions.
I really thought it was excessive for it to ask me to do a strip search in front of the Kinect camera. But, you know, who am I to argue with a piece of hardware?
And if you want to check out those pictures, just head on over to... No, I'm just kidding.
It's over on a Tumblr.
Yeah, that is also on Tumblr. Connectfools.tumblr.com. No, but, you know, I was mad about, like, how did these passwords get out? And there's a part of me that does think there's something happening on a mass scale. Like, it's not, you know, I like to think I'm a pretty intelligent web user and I don't fall for phishing sites and things that, like, I double check emails and don't really just run around blindly putting in my username and password. So it's really mysterious to me how these passwords are getting out in mass. And it does make me think, you know, and when the Microsoft Xbox thing happened originally, that something's happening on a larger scale, that they were hacked. Because remember, it happened right around the same time the Sony hack happened.
I know exactly who's behind that. It's Zero Cool and Acid Burn.
Oh my God.
I've seen the movie. They hacked the planet.
You're on fire tonight, funny man.
That is an amazing movie.
But anyway, so the one thing, although this guy will clearly lose the lawsuit, and it's not going to go anywhere. I mean, Blizzard's had the free authentication methods. Whether people can use them or not, remember that dial-in thing. Anybody could use that. That was the whole, they would call your home number on file, and you have to press a certain sequence or something if an unknown IP is trying to get into your WoW account, basically. And not a lot of people were using that. So it's like they kind of went out of their way to make that for people without smartphones. Mm-hmm. But then they just realized, you know what, they're just either the people without smartphones all went and got the $6 physical authenticators, or they're just not interested or what, because I think they finally shut that down. I don't even know. I would have to go look and see if that's an option on my account anymore. But that was something I thought they tried to build for people who didn't have smartphones. So, I mean, they have plenty of these free methods available, but I hope this lawsuit goes far enough where Blizzard does have to kind of respond to, well, how did so many passwords get compromised? How is so much of the user base? How many compromised accounts have there really been?
Right.
I would like some of that information to come out eventually, but who knows? Maybe Blizzard will try to settle to prevent that from happening. Because wouldn't it be fascinating to hear that in a courtroom that 5 million of their 10 million accounts have been compromised?
Yeah.
And it's a huge
number.
All
it's going to take is like Justin Bieber or something like that getting his account hacked and then going on an internet tirade, and then he'll get picked up by like TMZ or something.
And then telling all the fangirls to shave his head and no.
To shave his head?
Shave their heads.
Now, that was
bald
funny.
For Bieber.
That was funny.
That was horrific.
So, and then I, so this week I also finally saw Wreck-It Ralph.
And what did you think?
I enjoyed it.
It was cute. Yeah. Did you see it until the very end? Of course you did.
I did, and I was the only one in the theater that got it. Literally the only one in the theater that got it. And everybody was looking at me.
Wants to secede from the union.
Stop.
Just saying.
What does that have to do with Wreck-It Ralph?
Nobody else got it.
But, yeah, I thought it was so cute. Mm-hmm. It's a great movie. But, of course, I love Disney and I love video games.
Yeah. I love them both, too. And I'm that's why I'm not worried about Star Wars, but I am worried about, like, Monkey Island and Grim Fandango, because they're going to just put it on the shelf. They're not going to do anything with that stuff.
Yeah, I think I would be worried about that stuff, too, because, you know, you kind of hit the nail on the head earlier. Disney doesn't really license that stuff out or let other people do things with it, and I don't think Disney's going to have any immediate plans for it.
I would be all for an animated Secret of Monkey Island movie. That would be fantastic.
I just don't think it's in Disney's interest. Why would they go revive?
Yeah, why would they fight Pirates of the Caribbean?
Don't have to. It can be animated. It's fine. You can have two pirate stories.
Don't they have animated Pirates of the Caribbean stuff too?
Peter Pan, that has pirates in it, then stop them from making Pirates of the Caribbean. I mean, you can do that. Better yet, you know, if they do a live action version, I've always thought that they should have what's his name? Bruce Campbell play I think it's Stan, I don't remember his full name, but it's the salesman who's always, you know, he's selling used coffins, used pirate ships. He'd be perfect.
I think, unfortunately, you have to remember Disney has a very hard time even acknowledging Kingdom Hearts in their parks. I mean, save that one pin that Jamie found on her last trip.
Well, it's all over Tokyo Disney.
Is it? Okay.
From what I understand.
But I mean, like, okay, big whoop, one pin out of the millions of pins that there are. I mean, it's pretty hard to find a lot of acknowledgement to Kingdom Hearts even at Disney parks. So, but, you know, I'll still love Disney. I'm going to hope that Wreck-It Ralph does well enough that maybe they'll put something from it into the parks. Wouldn't it be great if they could turn the People Mover into the Game Central?
I'd be all over that.
I know, me too, except I'm totally being a fanboy.
Until someone else jumps off of it and gets crushed to death or something. You know, like, that's how they change it all the time. Just leave the People Mover on there. That's for the old people when they get tired of walking around. It's like a seat that moves. It's perfect.
No, the People Mover was awesome when they had the Tron Tunnel, the super speed Tron Tunnel.
Yeah, I never got to see it then.
Oh, I remember it when I was like...
There's YouTube video of it.
Yeah.
Or when they had
Jim Curry narrate it too.
I think so.
Which made it even more awesome.
When they had the rocket rods or whatever, and like, ooh, Tron Tunnel. Oh, bye, Tron Tunnel. That was really fast. Didn't get to see it. I wanted to see it, but we just flew past that.
How do you do I? See, you've met my People Mover ride.
I miss electronica.
Me too. R.I.P.
I always post that every time they put something for the Mad Tea Party up on Facebook. I say, bring back electronica.
Mad Flop Party.
So you guys decided that you were going to one-up me and actually do a live interview tonight.
Well, we couldn't let the interview fun stop at VOG. We just, you know, now that you've done a bunch of interviews and we heard you didn't have anything going on tonight, it was like, oh, well, we got to keep the interview thing going. So, yes, we have not one but two interviews tonight.
What?
Yeah, I know, right? What?
You only told me about one.
I know. It's a secret. It's been a secret to everybody. We have a live interview tonight with Eddie from BomaniStyle.com. This is definitely one for the old school fans of Orange Lounge Radio, but also for the new school fans as well. We're going to be talking about music gaming because, you know, Bomani Style's been around, I want to say, actually a couple months more than Orange Lounge Radio. So he's been following the music game scene for at least 10 years as well. We want to talk to him about, you know, kind of the past, what we've learned from it, and certainly with the announcement of the Dance Dance Revolution reboot, we want to talk about the future as well. Not just the future in that direction, but also, you know, you have all the Korean stuff like DJ Max and so forth. There's kind of that direction of music games too. So we're going to just tackle it all tonight with Eddie. And we have this one was a taped interview, and it's something that DJ Rama did for us with Girl Gamer Vogue. Jen from Girl Gamer Vogue is going to be on to talk about what Girl Gamer Vogue is and how you can be a part of it and get more information about that during tonight's show.
All right. Orange Lounge Radio is up next. And everybody go out there, go to podcastawards.com and vote for Orange Lounge Radio as best gaming.
Aw, shucks. I really appreciate that.
Please do, because I was snubbed, so go put OLR in so I won't feel so bad.
Well, do remember that Bobby did say, and I think we have a timestamp of this somewhere on a prior episode, if we do win the podcast award, which I'm not expecting we will, but you never know, if we happen to win that podcast award, Bobby Black Wolf will come to California and drink with us live on air. It will be phenomenal.
I'm not wearing a tingle suit while doing it, though. Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much, guys.
Say that now before you crack open the bottle.
I'm just gonna let that go. So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. The Wii U will be out, and I will hopefully have had a little bit of time to play with one. So I'll be able to talk all about the Wii U, and I've got mine pre-ordered, and I'm going to be picking it up at a midnight launch. The Black Deluxe one, I will be able to talk all about it, and you can make fun of me next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com, so you can catch us live and interact with the show directly. You can leave me a voicemail or a bumper on the toll-free number 1-888-36-GAME-1 or sending an MP3 to bumpers at BobbyBlackWolf.com. I'm on Facebook, Facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf, or on Twitter as Bobby Blackwolf, or you can contact me on my website, BobbyBlackWolf.com, or here at VogNetwork.com. If you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. But we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the wonderful chatters. So thank you very much, Dark Soccer, Dark Titsia, DC Nate, Hecht, Ronma, Sky, VXJasonXV, the Blue Guy, Doom Plague, Fifth Dream, Havoc 978, Loki, Vandy, Acidic Vampire, Actef, Breakman, Burr, Cidabria, D5T, Drunami, Dungeon Buster, Game Guru, Gamer Girl, GK128, Havoc 978, Immortal King, Infinel, Kazan, Mako, Matt Cube, Max Ninja, Melted General, Monster B, MXC, MXT, Orin G. It's kind of fun to say all those three together. Paige, Raginator, Shanalinko, Stan, Tiger Claw, Toagak, True, Warrior Bob, Zappy, and Zether. So that's it for me. I got to get back over here. It's off a little bit. So yeah, that's it for me. I will be there. See you next week. Wii U comes out. I'm probably still won't be playing Halo 4, but Forza Horizon, I'll hopefully be playing a little bit more this week. See you next week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Black Wolf Studios.
Care for Auburn.
He doesn't care.